analogy you have of it?
What kind of what?
Of semen. What kind of analogy?
Oh, an intimate knowledge of semen.
Massive. Thank you, Brian. Intimate. Not a-
It's the podcast that dared to dream a dream of a Dreamcast. It's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yeah!
And today we are talking about the best and the worst of the Dreamcast. What we love about the Dreamcast, what we hate about the Dreamcast. And for the beginning of this episode, I'm going to strip. Woo, baby!
Nice!
Yeah.
Keep going, come on.
That's all there.
I don't have any single bills.
I do. I got a fat stack.
That's okay, you guys can use 20s. Why don't we get started with a new segment? Beer of the day. Beer, why don't you tell us?
We are doing show beers from now on. So what we want to do is we want to actually kind of share some Wisconsin beers with all of our viewers.
Because we come from a place, a land of many and great beers.
Yes, we do. And tonight we are going to start this whole new segment out with the game beer. Tonight is going to be from the Potosi Brewing Company in beautiful Potosi, Wisconsin. Now, here's the cool thing about this brewing company. Back in 2001, they became a non-profit. They literally give all their profits to charity. So, anytime you drink...
So, like Moses, straight to charity.
Thank you. Exactly.
They say we're pretty pitiful and should take charity upon us.
Yes. Well, maybe they'll give us money for advertising their beers, because actually they make some really good beers. We are trying something different tonight. It's called Snake Hollow. It's an Indian Pale Ale from Potosi Brewing. Let's see if it's any good, guys.
Wait
for Rob.
You don't need a bottle.
You don't need
there.
A bottle.
You don't.
There.
Oh, no.
Well, come on,
I used it like right. A man.
Fuck.
Bad form, Brian. Bad form.
He used the F-bomb right on the show. Can you believe that?
And spilled the beer.
That fucker. Back in the day, I had a sense of
okay, I gotta say, that's not bad.
I like it.
It's pretty good. And you know, if you're...
Well, that's not bad.
It's kind of a lighter... Indian Pale Ale.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
Not quite so strong as some of them
and
are.
Like I'm sack tapping you with hops. Thank you. I don't need that hops touching every bit of my body while I'm drinking a beer.
I'm kind of disappointed that there's no curry in it.
That's because it's an Indian Pale Ale.
What you did there,
really
I
should.
See it.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is so good, I chose to wear it. All over me.
So yeah, no, I gotta say, that's a winner.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, wait a minute, let's do
really,
it.
It's a straightforward pale ale.
All right.
I like the reason
you're gonna go about midway. All right.
Yeah.
I'll give it a thumbs up.
It's a straightforward pale ale. It doesn't bring
it to be a drink.
It doesn't bring anything new to the table, but it does well.
Yeah.
I'm rocking a half club on the thumbs
you,
up.
And any profits go to charity. So
which,
drink it.
Yeah.
Drink
that,
it just to donate to charity.
Which
we
is the guy's wife, by the way.
All donating to charity right now.
That's
so all
awesome.
Other things being equal.
Beer by beer.
Why not buy something that's going to a good cause?
There you go. So.
Wait. Is that the name of the segment? Beer by beer. Name of the segment. There we go.
Beer by beer.
No, we already got a tip to tip.
No?
Yeah, we've done tip to tip. Why would you do beer to beer?
He said it.
All right.
Wow, nice way to throw him a
Dreamcast.
What a dick.
Just because we don't go with it doesn't mean it wasn't a good idea.
I have a Dreamcast.
I have a Dreamcast.
Sega would be making consoles.
Dreamcast. Let's start with... Should we start with Jonah?
Start with Jonah.
No,
he's chickening out.
He's hiding out back there.
It's not in my.
It's custard, not ice cream.
Kevin.
He would like to be involved with systems when he was born. That's the.
Hey, he was alive when the Dreamcast came out.
He was
conceived.
Kevin.
Yes.
Dreamcast.
I mean, it was exciting. I mean, I don't know. For me. I just remember that was the first thing more advanced than a PlayStation ever had. And I was just, it was so, like, it was. Yes, I'm doing the hand thing. Damn it. I remember fucking Crazy Taxi on that shit. It was just, it was like, my God. I mean, you know, it felt like the 90s. I mean, that was, you know, the Offspring, all that, you know.
Well,
it did run arcade code.
Everything on the Dreamcast felt exciting. I don't know. I never really played a game that was just like, wow, this is kind of boring and lame. It was like, everything was just...
Even their shovelware at least tried to be exciting.
There was like, color
it
and
was,
just...
It was bad shit still. Happening. There were lots of bad games.
You know, that's that is an interesting thing, though. You're right. It was all the games were very high color. I mean, they really did a lot of high contrast games. Lots of colors to pop. Give me a dark game on Dreamcast.
Vanishing
Point. That one weird...
Yeah.
Yeah, that
all right.
Game.
Yeah. All right, Shamu, man.
Sort of the Berserker.
Shamu?
Yeah.
Shamu.
Yeah.
Shamu, yeah.
Shamu.
And ShamWow, which was a really nice one with Vince.
And Shazam.
And the prostitutes.
There was Resident Evil Code Veronica, yes. Which originally came out on the Dreamcast, also pretty dark.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any, like, bright and chipper Resident Evil games that I think.
It's like Viva Pinata.
Oh, no.
It's Resident Evil.
Yeah, I can't believe you mentioned Viva Pinata. But anyway, that was pretty good.
Near and dear.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things that it did first was textures that you could actually recognize what the hell the texture was supposed to be. That was a big deal, man, because next to the PlayStation, which just took a bunch of gobbledygook stuff and threw it together, and yeah, that's dirt, you know?
The thing is, just like, I mean, the PlayStation had been on the market for a while there. PS2 was coming out soon. PS2's coming out. But PlayStation at that time, it was pushing the limits of its console, and... it was trying to push to be more realistic and make more realistic graphics. The Sega when the Sega Dreamcast came out, like, it really just worked with the hardware that it had. Like, a lot of the first party games.
The Genesis?
No, the Sega Dreamcast.
I thought you said Genesis.
He did.
I started with
Jet.
Say Genesis. I said Sega Jet, I meant Dreamcast.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, but anyway. The Dreamcast, I mean, basically, I mean, if you think of things like Jet Set Radio, they did cell shading, and they did a lot of that. That was, like, the first console to really, like, come up with all these, like, cell shaded games, and, like, a lot of first party titles.
Well, it had a real 3D engine in it.
Yeah, it had a real 3D engine.
Which the PlayStation 1 did not have.
That's just one example of them using, like, they kind of cheated the graphics to make things still pop and look good with the limitations they had, and I really respected that. The other big thing is, and, like, I really wish this took off more, is it was the first like pre-packaged home console that had internet right off the box.
Yep.
Like there are plenty of other consoles. The Genesis had like a, you know, an attachment where you could actually put it on the internet.
Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Like this was a big core part of the Dreamcast right out of the box. And like I don't think people were used to using it, and it was ahead of its time. I mean, like, I remember, like, as soon as Phantasy Star Online came out, like, this was before, like, just as MMOs were starting to hit their thing, Phantasy Star Online on the Dreamcast, man, was, like, a soul eater. This was, like, World of Warcraft soul eating huge. Like, you can spend days on that game, you can interact with other people, like, it ran on a 56K modem, which is...
No, I thought it was slower than that.
No, it was 56K, and it ran beautifully on a 56K modem.
Yeah, I mean, they took the limitations they had for being, you know, released in 1999, and they really pushed it pretty far.
And you know what? You bring up a very good point about how it was ahead of its time. I love the Dreamcast personally because it was ahead of its time. Look at every game console since then. I really think that the Dreamcast was the predecessor to the Xbox, at least spiritually, if you look at that.
Well, I heard Bill say that the other day. He was like,
I think he said, yeah. Thanks, Sega.
Thanks. Yeah, that's why.
Maybe, I believe you just said that. Yeah.
And I think you followed it with going out of business. The
I was like, because Christ, you'd probably be on top of us too.
I was really lucky enough to like live in a household where I had a techie father who like had two phone lines, so you know I could, you know,
play the game.
But I remember plenty of times going over to Ben's house, bringing my Dreamcast, disconnecting their home phone, and plugging it in my Dreamcast to play all overnight. It was
super.
Yo, and it had to be after a certain time, after the folks went to bed.
Yeah, after they were.
No one should be calling at this time.
And then Mom would pick up the phone at like 11.
Or if you had call waiting, and you got that stupid click in from call waiting, it would knock you offline.
Yeah,
line.
You forget to hit that star.
Star
69. Yeah, Star
69
code.
That wasn't Star 69. That was
Star,
callback.
Yeah, Star 69.
That was
yeah,
a holy gift
Star
purpose.
Something.
Star 69 is hide call. Star 67 is call back. Yeah.
And then there was one that turned off.
That turned off.
There's touch tone code.
8675.
People don't use them anymore.
Yeah,
okay, so. Alright, so that's his thing. What about you?
You don't have to go in a circle.
No, you're right. We don't have to go in a circle.
I think it should be a fluid conversation.
It is a fluid conversation.
Controller, by the way. horrible design.
No, it was not a horrible design.
Let's just start talking.
Yeah, I do have to say.
Okay, let's talk about...
Compared to the 964 controller,
it changed controller design for the next 20 years.
Correct.
What is an Xbox controller but a Dreamcast controller?
With the cable coming out of the other side.
It is absolutely...
And here's the thing that the Dreamcast did that still has not been done as well. The VMU. The VMU part of their controller was freaking brilliant.
It was cool, but it ended up being more of a gimmick than anything.
And the battery always ran out.
That was a big struggle. Yeah, but here's the thing.
You didn't need the battery for while it was plugged in.
Correct. And here in the States, they didn't take it as far as they did in Japan. In Japan, you could literally load your games, go to the arcade, stick your VMU in the machine.
That's right, and use the data.
And use the data.
Yeah, but arcades here aren't as big as they are over there.
Originally released for the Japanese market. And there are things I totally love about the Dreamcast, but I'm going to be a little counter. There's a reason it died. And I think the reason was it was a very Asian system. The games that came out were very Asian. And I don't think the American audience was ready for that.
No, I think some of the games that came out.
I think
that the majority of the titles really were American titles.
It covered a lot of niches, but they were a lot of niche titles. I think that with... Unfortunately, you know, you think about how the world was in 1999. The internet wasn't as big as it was then. You know, the communication, like if the Dreamcast, something like the Dreamcast landed today, it would do pretty well because the games people were niching about, were really passionate about, they could talk to other people they could connect with.
Alien on
but
online.
There were so like I have an expansive knowledge of the Dreamcast collection and like all these really weird games that people have never heard about that I really think they like, and I've had people try stuff they're like, "Oh my god, I never knew this existed. This is awesome." It's because that information was very hard to spread in 1999 to 2003.
But I think like okay, Seaman was a very strange
That's marketing.
Game.
That is not
that That was a big title for them.
It's not marketing.
But the thing is, there's a lot of games that people will just be like, eh.
No.
They're weird. They took chances, but I mean...
That's not what killed the Dreamcast. It wasn't the weird games that killed the Dreamcast.
It was marketing.
Yeah, I agree. It was marketing. We were there. I mean, honestly, we were there. And what was happening was the buzz on the street was that the Dreamcast, the way they advertised it was this... a home arcade.
Right.
And the problem was, in 2000, people were burned out on arcade. The arcade was a dying breed.
The second death of the arcade.
And the Dreamcast was the finest and last of the arcade game machines. Arcade game machines.
Yeah.
What about the 360 with Game Room? And that was sterling success.
Yeah, it did great.
But it wasn't the core of their system. Even if you want to throw that in as a serious topic, it's not the core of their system. An arcade system, Dreamcast was an arcade system. It was the core.
And it was the last.
Things like RPGs and stuff were sort of add-ons
to it. Next to the PS2, if you look at the titles that they pushed it with originally, literally, this is the title. So at the time I was working for an ISP in Milwaukee, all the techs, literally, we bought a Dreamcast just to play one game. Soul Calibur.
Sprained my drinking elbow.
Mm. Oh, whoa, that sounds pretty serious.
That's a serious
We literally went out and bought one for the break room because we had to have Soul Calibur in the break room. And Soul Calibur was brilliant at the arcades, did great at the arcades, and this port was a perfect port. That's the other thing that comes into play. Sega also put these Dreamcasts, the industrial ones, inside video game systems that they shipped out to arcades. So it was literally an arcade piece of hardware. Yeah. They had the home version, they also had an industrial version that they sent out to arcades.
Really?
Yeah, huh, really. Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, dude.
They also had a parlor version. I think it's called, the Mode 7 or something like that.
Yeah, no, but there was an adult version of it. If you were an arcade owner at the time, you could buy a game that had basically a Dreamcast in it, but more industrial hardware version of it, and then you'd pop in whatever disc, put up the tag artwork you want, and go.
Code was essentially the same.
The code was identical. Yeah. I mean, it really was.
The hardware was just different. Well,
yeah, better. A little more durable.
It had to have some kind of ability to collect money.
Right.
Yeah.
But but again, no,
businesses want to make money?
It really was, like you said, it was the end of the arcade era coming in there. So most of their big titles, you know, even Jet Grind Radio, which is a little bit, is more an arcade-ish feel on the game. I mean,
I think that's more of an art, a stylization of the art that makes it feel like that. But
and I think that's also a niche title.
Well, I mean,
it's
being developed
too.
by
it's
really,
I don't think so.
It's a very popular niche title, but yes, it's a very niche. As a guy who is one of the stronger members in the Jet Grind Radio community,
Yes, it's a niche title. I mean, people loved it. It was a huge hit for them.
Yeah.
It was a hit for them, and the soundtrack was freaking awesome.
Oh, I still have music from that I listen to.
I think it was kind of hard.
Like PlayStation's Parappa the Rappa. You know?
Oh, God, yes.
Kick phone shits all in the mind. I gotta stop.
No, there's some great cult following to that, but.
Yeah.
You know.
And again.
But no, people loved it. It sold well. But, I mean, people did love the game.
You talk about the PlayStation and the Dreamcast. So here's something cool that this company got sued 6 ways to Sunday by Sony. So one thing you could do on the Dreamcast was they had the Bleemcast. So, and this was an official product. Basically, it allowed you from the company that made it, not the Sony.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, no,
it was a commercially released
product. Released way to play
it had a Sony logo when it started up. Yeah.
To play your Dreamcast games on your, play your PlayStation games on your Dreamcast. Sony didn't find it as funny as we all did. The better part is, and you can't really see that from here, is it improved the graphics. It had graphic enhancement, and so when you played a game on here, it would look better on the Dreamcast than it did on the PlayStation.
Now, interesting fact. Do you know what other system that was released for?
Dreamcast?
Yep.
One of the Mac systems had the
Dreamcast. Yes, the Macintosh was
the
other system. It actually...
It improved the quality of the PC and Mac.
They were using
The PC version.
Yeah,
the Mac.
There's definitely
a
PC
version.
We owned it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure we did.
I played Bushido Blade on it a couple times.
Yeah.
Awesomeness.
But the way they did it too, which was interesting, is they had individual Bleemcast for each individual game.
Yeah, which they didn't do on the Mac version.
So you had to actually, like, this one is the Gran Turismo version. This one is the Tekken 3 version? Tekken 3 version. So you had to buy one. Because what they did is they wrote the code, the emulator code, to optimize the game. So it was pretty darn cool.
I think they actually did have Sony's
they lost the shit out of the lawsuit. They got their asses sued off.
I thought they had licensing for that.
Nope. They got their asses sued off and went out of business.
I would wonder why that would be. Sony's copying that game.
Yes, but you are copying Sony's hardware code.
Yeah. If they did.
Was the argument. Sony was still selling hardware, remember, not just games. If I don't have to buy a PlayStation and I can play all the games on the Dreamcast, that kind of defeats the purpose of Sony selling PlayStation.
It's like how in the modern day, like, you have to do all sorts of sketchy stuff if you're trying to emulate a console. You know, in this case of a PlayStation or PlayStation 2, you have to go to some sketchy ass site to actually
get the BIOS.
But the emulator is perfectly fine because that's all the BIOS code.
Exactly.
No, that is all original code. But you have to then go, you know,
yes,
get
on the other hand, you didn't have the BIOS.
Your virus. Isolated machine to go out and get.
So again, but
so if it gets active,
one of the coolest things that they did on the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast had such potential. Again, I think it was strictly. I don't think it was the oddball games. I think it was marketing that killed it. Sega has the worst marketing. They've done that on every system they come out with. They come out with these brilliant pieces of hardware and then they don't market it.
Oh, I mean, I have to say that it's a contrast to the Genesis, which they blazingly marketed it. The extreme in your face, you know.
That was just the early 90s.
But then when they, what was it, what was it, the 32-bit?
The Genesis invented shovelware.
The Saturn, and then they came out with the Saturn, and it was all downhill from there.
I think that possibly they would have survived if the Saturn never came out, honestly. Because the Dreamcast did not do that bad.
I have to agree.
The problem is it didn't do well enough
to make up after that Saturn.
They always like point out, oh, Dreamcast put the nail in their coffin. It didn't. It sold really well. It did very well.
Right.
The problem is there was nothing saving Sega after the Saturn. It
yeah,
really
Saturn
was
a
colossal flop.
Yeah, it was.
You want to talk about one that was strictly
it was,
an Asian
it was
system.
Cool, but yeah. It was expensive.
That was strictly an Asian system. Yeah,
what, limited on games.
Yeah.
It was
most of its good games were in 2D.
Yeah.
I played all the time, I know.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't know much about the Sega Saturn. What kind of hardware was in there? If
comparable
you guys
to your you know PS2 90s era. No, I mean it'd be you know like the PlayStation era.
It was probably
yeah,
a PlayStation
yeah.
1.5. You know, it was
yeah.
coming out a little after it, so it had a little more advanced and standard technology. But it was around that PlayStation. It,
grab one of these beers and see what you think.
And in fact, there was
right
a few cross titles. That came out on Saturn and also came out on
yeah the mech games
Mech Warrior
no
Armored
that
Core.
Didn't come out on it but
oh
didn't
yeah Armored Core
D come out on both systems
oh boy love that game
quiet
in the
D corner
did.
Answering questions
that might have been their exclusive that might have been their only exclusive that was
speaks
well Panzer Dragoon
to...
oh wait oops. Anyway, yeah, we started talking about the Saturn. We should do a show on the Saturn.
We really should do the show on
because
Saturn.
There's a lot of interesting stuff
on
the Saturn.
I got a bitch load of Saturn stuff,
yeah,
too.
I'm a big collector of Saturn, too. So, and I collect the odd.
Oh, well,
the
Saturn
Dreamcast
the odd.
Did introduce, I know that there's, maybe sports games probably aren't the biggest
sports.
Thing around here, but
no,
the 2K stuff
yes.
was introduced with the Dreamcast,
and
you can still get that
the best.
Brand.
That was some of the best sports games. I mean, like, Madden quality was okay at the time. The 2K sports stuff at the time was awesome.
No, yeah,
that's
actually,
yeah. The early
2000s. Comparatively, Madden stuff sucked compared to the 2K.
Yeah, no, those were actually the best time sports because there's actual competition. So it wasn't just stagnant roster updates every damn year.
Thank you.
Then, of course, you know, 2006, 2007 rolls around, you know, then... You know, first, you know, exclusive licensing becomes the order of the day, and then, oh, look, we're back to stagnation. But no, the early 2000s were the like, peak of sports simulation.
I'm not going to say this was an innovation of 2K, because I'm not 100% sure it wasn't in other games.
Sports.
But I do remember, you could control anybody on the field. So if you really wanted to play an offensive lineman...
why would you want
to play...
So funny, Jim loved playing offensive
really?
Line.
Why?
Apparently, you like to watch the screen a lot.
Yeah,
just,
thank you.
Just a quick little thing about that. I used to play Madden with my dad all the time and other games on the Dreamcast, but God, he would just whoop my ass constantly, so I would deliberately, physically and emotionally. And I would just take the offensive line and then just split them apart just so I could lose faster so I didn't have to play with them anymore.
God.
Had enough.
I'm done.
That's pretty much how it
works. So is the Madden series full of completely unrelated commentary then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much so.
Sometimes the offensive line is like a Yugo.
Something else though about the Dreamcast that we haven't really talked about, and we'll talk about more maybe in the next episode, is the really good controllers. Most of the genuine Sega controller stuff is freaking brilliant. So, one of the first big company brand, no, I wouldn't say that, but one of the better quality ones. I mean, this is when they started actually making really nice arcade quality stuff. Again, that was Sega's thing. It was the hardware. They knew how to make arcade hardware. They put out real arcades, real arcade games.
Well, not only that, but look at all the... I mean, you already have two fighting games right here, and they actually happen to be my favorite ones, too.
Of course, Soul Calibur, dude.
Soul Calibur
and Marvel
vs. Capcom
2.
I think you're way overlooking Power Stone. 64-player
roster!
I know, which is freaking unbelievable.
That is unbelievable!
So,
and you're ignoring
like
Techromancer, which is freaking excellent.
Techromancer is one of the best mech games you ever
played. Project Justice, but that's okay.
Oh, look at the... All right.
Is that a DC game?
No, Project Justice is... sequel
and
to
also,
Rival Schools.
Metal Geo Matrix.
Okay, so,
anyway,
all right,
let's
so
just
now, see, right there, with all the titles you guys just popped up, it had nothing to do with the releases. It really was marketing. I'm just going to
reiterate that point.
Because you guys
had
just mentioned all these amazing titles.
Finding a decent RPG on the machine.
Grandia.
All right,
Skies
of Arcadia.
Grandia and Grandia 2.
Okay, so
which
what?
A PS2 release.
All right, it's not good when your system has one.
Skies of Arcadia.
That was the only real exclusive franchise on the...
and it was good.
Yes, no
it was
doubt,
really
no doubt,
good.
Okay, but
that's versus,
but,
you know, the PS2's
but, okay,
like
but
50
here's
of
again,
them. But
here's again. This is not really what the system was designed for. It was really designed as an arcade system.
Well, storage is another
Sonic
problem.
Sonic the Hedgehog was not.
That's a big problem that it had.
Adventure.
It didn't have as much storage as
it. Right, it had to be
as a PlayStation 2.
You know?
Yeah, but actually, the VMU storage wasn't that much.
No, I'm talking about the actual disc storage.
Right. Oh, disc storage.
DVD versus
CD-ROM. Yeah.
Right.
That was a big deal.
It had a CD-ROM drive.
Yeah.
CD-ROM is just an overburned CD-ROM. Yeah,
700 to 800 megs versus the 2.
Oh, now you're going to talk about.
Well, and that makes a difference. DVD, that's why it's easy to do arcade games on it.
DVD 4, 5, 4, DVD 9. All right, we got two conversations going.
Motherfuckers.
Whatever.
Coming from Brian, it's kind of funny.
I was actually staying on the same.
I was just clarifying.
All right. I have no idea what was said in that last.
So how about that local sports team?
Yeah, right? Hey.
No, again, so...
about those receiver Raiders?
It goes back down to storage, you know. Again, you can't really do an RPG. You can, but it's limited RPGs, especially at that time in gaming. So that's why.
And where were the tactic games and the, you know...
Oh, don't even start. And besides, nobody cared about those except for some Japan. Reason. Oh, wait. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Arcade games are great for 5 minutes or when you have people over but it's not a sit down, I'm going to play games for the next couple
hours.
I've had
this discussion. I don't sit down and play $200 worth of gaming. I like to sit down.
But back then the average gamer was like 20 years old. They had time.
Yeah, well.
The average gamer is 30 to 40 now.
I was already.
But I mean, I'm saying the average gamer was... in their late teens, early 20s at that time.
Look at that
At that time, yeah. But
at that time.
How could the average gamer be 30?
Huh? I think Jonah's got to lower that number a little bit. Because birth rates have gone down. Birth rates went down for a good long time, and there's a lot more of us than there are of you.
Yeah.
And all of us grew up
on there's more millennials than they are baby boomers.
As much as they say it is.
For now.
Yeah, but baby boomers are gone, dude. They're 60.
Our numbers are
what are you talking about? That's not the demographic.
Right.
Hey, wait, but there's way more of them than the 100-year-olds.
No, but
that's great.
I would say millennials probably play a lot of games. Hey, guess what? There's a bunch of them here.
They do, but they don't buy shit. I'm talking demographically, not this room.
So they're just a bunch of
thieves. They all hired them.
I do not. You shut your whore mouth.
Now, that is what I hear, the real death. Of the Dreamcast was the
physical pirate.
The ease of which it was pirated.
The crock of shit.
They say that all the time when they lose.
Oh, the piracy is killing us. Bullshit.
At least they bought a console. Oh, hey. Wait, you're losing money on that? Sorry.
Yeah.
There's also been studies done that show that people who pirate actually spend more on media.
I agree. You know something? Yeah. Even on the systems where I occasionally copy something, I spend a bitch load on...
And seriously, that is true.
On games, on hardware, on everything. I invest in it. Basically, usually the stuff that I would get a copy of would be crap I wouldn't have purchased anyways.
I pirated Tamper twice and bought it 5 times.
Exactly.
I think you should get 2 carte blanches.
You know, that is often the case, you know? In fact, you know, again, and the other thing is now I will replace discs that I had that have gotten too worn out because of scratches, whatever the case may be. I'll just burn them.
Gone through
copies.
Hell.
Yeah, they some of them have gone through hell, literally.
Or through Susie.
The other thing is, I think the whole piracy thing is a short-term thing. If you piss off 20-somethings, they may hate you when they're 30-something and have more money to spend on games, and when they're 40-something and have more money to spend on games.
Well, this all goes down to see how many of these games are around in 30 years like they are now.
Well, that's a totally different discussion that we're going to have these days, because...
In the retirement home!
They're willing.
Oh, yeah, we bet, man.
Cyber Bob and Cyber Tom.
I am going to whip out my Dreamcast in the retirement home and still be fucking playing.
Was the Dreamcast one of the first systems that was easily case changeable?
Well, I think it's the first one that people started really modding.
Original PlayStation.
Did they have a lot of mods for that? Case mods.
Yeah, everybody took out the gray shells and did the translucent stuff. And everyone bought mod chips and stuff.
Yeah, but I would say that was not the first one.
Mod chips I can see, but you can...
Even case mods. When I bought my first mod chip, there was so many aftermarket parts for the Sony PlayStation.
I think...
I think the PlayStation was probably the first one that had a lot of aftermarket stuff. Yeah, it was the PlayStation.
Yeah,
all right, fair enough. I wasn't sure on that, but I do remember that being a big thing in the Dreamcast community.
You're right, more so on the
PlayStation. I think modding them to play pirated games was bigger in the PlayStation community.
But that's
only because you could just pirate them out of the box on the Dreamcast.
Insert the myriad of aftermarket parts that there were for the PlayStation. I guarantee you I spent hours and days searching, like, because originally, basically, I bought a mod chip to play Dance Dance Revolution before it came to the States.
Yeah.
Mom, Dad, buy me this, there are all these cool cases, all this stuff. No, there's tons of stuff for the Sony PlayStation. The Dreamcast, it was hard to take apart. Especially that case latch, a lot harder than the PlayStation. It was...
Yeah, it is.
I never found it hard to take apart.
Compared to the PSX, it's quite a bit harder.
I never really had the urge to take my PlayStation apart because I had paid like a lot of money for it when it first came out. I was like, screw this.
Yeah.
This magic box is staying here. And it was terrible, by the way. The first PlayStation models were prone to, like, all sorts of problems.
Really?
That's why you
had to run over.
The first one I had to run upside down.
Yeah. Still running. How many scoots?
Yeah, I remember. I'm glad I remember you made a stand so you could play
it. I just used it.
How many SKUs were there?
So some of the cool else about, and again, going back to aftermarket hardware, this was something you could do on the Dreamcast. VGA out.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. It recognized when you had a VGA connection on it and improved the graphics quality immensely. That goes back down to
upscaling?
No, I don't think it's upscaling.
Because some actually would not work. Some games actually did not have coding in the VGA box.
Right.
Really?
So
Soul Calibur did.
So this was one of the things that, again, this goes back down to...
Yes, it did.
Probably the Hydro arcade
Thunder
hardware
did not.
Versus the home hardware. The arcade hardware probably had this built in, so coders probably coded for it.
Yeah.
So games that could support it... And the difference is night and effing day. I mean, wow. You hook up one of these VGA output units.
And actually, if you look at this, what I was talking about, where some did not code for there we go. Where some did not code for it, you can look on this and you can see that it actually does have a standard... it has a standard composite output. And the reason for that is you could switch, see? And you can switch between the modes if the game doesn't support it.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome.
And again, it's amazing because the game...
That's a good one, too, by the way.
That is a nice one. That's one of the early ones that was still... When it was still in production.
I got the cheap cable one.
The Racket Boy one?
Not the Racket Boy one. I got the rip-off of that one.
Okay, I got the Racket Boy one. There was a guy called Racket Boy who made the most amazing VGA boxes. But this is actually during the time that the Dreamcast was still in production.
I think it's a worthwhile system. I mean, you know, the fishing controller alone is worth it.
We will talk about that.
That's in the next episode.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's a worthwhile system. I just think it had problems. You know, it's.
I would say if you're a retro collector, I think that's probably one of the first systems you should pick up. As far as the breadth of games that are available for it that are actually fun to a modern gamer, I think that it is really, really great that
they're different. And they're cheap.
Seaman, killer IP.
Game prices have been rising dramatically in the past year and a half to 2 years. They've been just
but Dreamcast insane, but, comparatively.
But getting a Dreamcast is $20.
Right,
still,
even the hardware, exactly. Yeah. You can find them as cheap as $20. You'll pay $20 to $40 for a complete Dreamcast in good order, and that's really cheap to get into a retro gaming.
Yeah, even if the games will cost you an arm and a leg, some of them, but. You know the basics that are really good? You can get those cheap.
Yeah, because they made a bitch load of them anyway.
Yeah, I guess.
Everybody had them.
Sonic
was okay.
Yeah. You shut your whore mouth.
No, like Rob said, they actually sold extremely well here in the States. Yeah. That was not what killed it. Sega killed it.
Sega didn't kill it. By the way, if you happen to be really poor and you need a crazy taxi... I just use them as Christmas tree ornaments now. I get them with every damn Dreamcast.
No, but if you do get it, get Crazy Taxi just for the soundtrack.
Oh,
it
definitely.
It is the soundtrack of the 90s.
Just Offspring and Bad Religion.
Let's be honest.
That's all right. It's not what you get.
It's better than the version you get on the Android.
Other
version as well.
Quips and quips.
I love the
jokes for days.
Well, we can't be funny here, guys.
All right.
Fun all day long. It's fun.
No, this is a dramatic podcast. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a traumatic podcast.
Yeah, yeah. This is G2B the Great.
Speaking of trauma, this episode of Guys, Games, and Beer is coming to an end. We recommend the Dreamcast. You need it. Watch the next episode, because guess what?
There's more Dreamcast coming.
And
come visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Win free games on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer.